I want to tell you about an experience I had and, you know, how it got me thinking. So it's what I learned from jumping out of a plane. I don't know, has anyone ever jumped out of a plane before? Skydiving. One. Okay. So, I'll tell you about my experience. You know, in this picture, you know, at about 12,000 feet in the air, looking down, getting ready to jump, adrenaline pumping. I mean, it was an experience you don't easily forget. I was reading on the internet yesterday. It looks like a kind of a stuntist or a stunt diver went up to about 25,000 feet. And after 18,000 feet, you have to have oxygen. So he took his oxygen mask and he jumped out. But he jumped out without a parachute and without any wings and landed on a net. It was extremely risky, only one that's ever been done. He said he's been jumping out of airplanes since he was 12 and has done about 18,000 jumps. But still, you know, I thought this was risky, but this is, you know, we're talking all sorts of levels here that I can't even fathom. But three things that I did in kind of preparation for this. I went out and I looked for facts about jumps and about skydiving. I committed to it, but then I actually jumped. So I'll walk you through all three of those tonight. So what are the facts? There's about 3 million jumps every year, 21 deaths, which comes to a 0.0007 fatality rate. You know, everyone thinks of skydiving, you're risking your life. It is risky. Everything is risky. Did you know that if you drive 10,000 miles a year, your fatality rate is 0.0167? And for all the non-math majors out there, you're about 24 times more likely to die driving than jumping from a plane. So risky, but, you know, fatality rates here. What's also interesting, and we won't go too morbid, but what other things are you more likely to die from than jumping out of a plane? So I just did a quick little research. Grand Prix racing, you know, 1 in 100. Pretty risky. Motorcycle racing, 1 in 1,000. Canoeing, 1 in 10,000. I never really think of canoeing as a risky sport, but apparently it is. Soccer and rugby, 1 in 100,000. Hang gliding, 1 in 560. Boxing, 1 in 2,200. For the really risky, you know, base jumping, 1 in 60. Very, very high fatality rate. It goes on. You know, even things that, you know, I really wouldn't consider very dangerous at all. You know, mountain hiking, I mean, even driving, you don't think it's risky, but we all know there's been plenty of accidents. I was in kind of my first big one earlier this year, you know, in February. And as a matter of fact, it was resolved from the insurance companies fighting yesterday. So I'm happy to be kind of in the clear now. But my favorite, you know, is dance parties. Apparently, if you go to a dance party, you have a 1 in 100,000 chance to die, which, you know, who knew? Regardless of all these risks, even if you do absolutely nothing, you still have a chance of dying. And apparently, that probability increases, or actually doubles, every 8 years. So in a given year, you have a probability of dying. That rate doubles every 8 years, which makes you feel really good. So you have to ask yourself, what are you really living for? What are you living for on this earth? Are you risking for, are you living for that adrenaline rush? Are you living for, you know, your family? The world will give you a lot of different directions to go in, won't it? You can live for your career, your job, your wealth, the pursuit of wisdom, you know, all the gym rats out there. You can live for your health. You know, family's on this list. And I think a lot of us would say, you know, family's really important to us. But should it be our number one? I mean, no. God should be our number one. There's a lot of distractions. I mean, today, Pokemon Go. Who's living for Pokemon Go? Okay. So no one. That's good. What should we be living for? It should be easy. It should be. But it's not. We should be living for Christ. So let's know our facts. First of all, God is real. We have the Bible. There's a lot of support there. A little bit of study, faith, becomes really obvious. God is real. 1 Corinthians 8:6, if you want to turn to me, but it is up there as well. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. There is one God. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? Sometimes we think more about, you know, what are we going to be doing after church? What are we going to be eating for dinner? How are we going to get through one of those issues that life brings about? Another fact. The Bible is God's inspired word. I mean, we know this. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. These aren't just words. They're from God. Does that mean something to you? It should. Sometimes we don't crack it until we come to church. Or if we're doing a preparation for a lesson or studying, or we really should be trying to follow every word in that book because it's God talking to us. Every word there is there for a reason, and it's to guide us. You know what the best part? We know the answer. People are like, what's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of life? We know the meaning of life. Go out, obey, do his will. And we know that God wins in the end. I think that was a youth rally thing one year. God wins. Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. There's victory for those that follow him, that read the word and apply it to your life. But that takes a choice, doesn't it? That takes us doing something in our life, understanding a right way and a wrong way to do things, understanding there's an easy and a hard way, and sometimes the easy ways are things that are paths we want to go down, when the Bible will say we need to take the hard route, right? So my choices matter. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. You know, I was a couple of companies back that I work with, they got into a patent war. And I ended up working for both companies. So Friday, this past week, I ended up going to a deposition. If you've ever done that, it's really not fun. The lawyers legally have you for 8 hours, and they can ask you whatever you want. And luckily, I really didn't know a lot about the patents and what they were doing, but I had worked a little bit with each of the different pieces, more on the kind of the pre-sale side. But it was painful. You know, we had to give over all of our emails, and they went through over 60,000 of my emails, every one of them, and had brought up things like, oh, it looks like you said this to this person and this to that person. And they were trying to make a case against one of the companies I'd worked for. And at the end of that 7 or 8 hours, I was really beat down. I mean, it just gave me a sense for, you know, standing in front of God one day and having him judge our works, as this verse says. That's going to be hard, I think, for all of us, because we're not perfect people. We screw up. We make bad choices. And to have to sit there and listen to every single one of those bad choices. And at the end, I mean, I can imagine myself just laying there on the ground thinking completely unworthy. And it's only because of that grace that we have the opportunity to go to heaven. What love. Our choices matter. So how do you commit? You know, I told you I did three things. I knew the facts. I committed. So first of all, I'm cheap. I waited for that Groupon to come out. I needed something to kind of give me that push, to get a good deal. I had to get my team together, my bros. I had to set aside the time. I had to prioritize it above other things I could do that day. You know, I did not make goodbye videos for the kids. You know, Jen was quite worried. We actually had made a deal at one point that I could not go skydiving once we got married. I ended up breaking that later with a good motivational speech, some statistics, and a Groupon. So if there's a will, there's a way. I had to psych myself up for this, and I had to go do it. So how do you commit spiritually? Get a Bible. Read. Understand. Have a desire to know God's word. You don't have to, you know, check your email, wait for that special deal to come out, and jump on it really quickly before it goes away. We have the Bible. All of us have had the Bible our entire lives. It's sitting there in our phones, in our iPads, on the internet, you know, physically. We have Bibles in our house. Are you reading it? You can't just read it, can you? There's a next step. You have to obey it. And sometimes that's hard to do. We're all emotional people. It's hard when some loved ones make bad choices. It's hard when we make bad choices and have to deal with those consequences. But God sets out the rules for us. He lets us know exactly what his expectations are, and it really doesn't matter our opinion. You know, a lot of people like to read the Bible and say, oh, I really don't like that part. It makes me really uncomfortable. It doesn't fit in with today's modern world. It doesn't jive with how I want to live my life and what culture is saying is an acceptable norm. It doesn't matter what culture says. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God told us. And then we have to use that to go change the world. And changing the world could be planting the seed, talking to your friends, talking to your loved ones, talking to your wife, your family, your boyfriend, girlfriend, your schoolmate, your coworkers. God told us to go out, preach, and save, right? Are we doing that? Is it easy? Is it easy? It should be. I mean, really, it's me taking some action and going out and talking to someone. But there's a lot of swirl around us. There's a lot of bad things in this world. There's a lot of agendas that we kind of have to deal with, right? And it's almost an emotional, you know, almost psychological debate we have to go through. You know, I know there's all these agendas in the world. And I know if I say things, I might be labeled a certain way. And I know the country might be going in one direction, or, you know, there's always something the media will bring up to scare us. I mean, it was Ebola last year. This year, it's Zika. There's all sorts of things that are going to be thrown at us that we're going to have to deal with. Can I change anything at all? Does that sound familiar? Can I do anything to impact the world that I'm living in? It feels like, you know, some of the different agendas from different groups right now are being pushed so heavily. Is there anything I can do to seemingly stop that train? Again, you know, God made it pretty simple for us. Go out and teach. And I think if we all did that, and enough people really took it upon themselves to learn and apply it to their lives, then I think a lot of these agendas would stop. But you might think, how in the world can I stop anything? You know, of a sinful nature in this world. It's up to us. We're not alone. But it could be scary. You know, it is hard. It's different. But most importantly, it is important. We're here for a reason. It is worth it to commit. It does mean prioritizing having that conversation. It does mean talking to your neighbors. So how do you commit? I'll revert back to some of my experiences here. You get a support network. For me in skydiving, I grabbed a couple of my closest friends. Decided we're going to do this. You know, I knew we were in it together. There was a lot of people in that plane, packed in that little tube, but we were all on a similar mission. We knew what we had to do. I mean, here we are sitting in church. We all have the same mission, to take ourselves to heaven, to take our families to heaven, to take everyone we know to heaven. We're in it together. Can we learn from those that went before us? I see a lot of gray hair in the audience today. I'm starting to get some myself here. You guys have learned some things, haven't you? Are you passing that on? Are some of the younger people in the church asking, you know, what are some of the obstacles you went across in your life? How did you overcome it? What are your learnings? How can I apply those to my life to help me be successful? Watching, you know, some of the guys jump out of the plane, you know, I saw, not that group, but like the next group, one guy completely smacked his head trying to get out the door, and I thought, I'm going to duck. You know, I learned something here. Sure enough, I went out and I smacked my head across the door. Even sometimes when you watch somebody, it's not enough. You have to kind of fall out of the tree the hard way. You got to put aside that fear. I think for me, that was the scariest moment. Standing on the brink, not quite doing anything yet, but knowing that I'm getting ready to. And that I'm really high, I'm out of my comfort zone, and that I'm getting ready to jump. Is that just like our Christian walk? You know, do we take ourselves out of that comfort zone? I mean, sometimes it's easy in church to talk to, you know, a visitor or, you know, someone that's familiar that we've seen for many years here. But what about someone that we've really never seen going to church? You know, that neighbor beside us. You know, our friends, our coworkers. Are we taking ourselves outside of our comfort zone to talk to them? We've got to put aside that fear. And lastly, you have to jump. You have to do it. You have to decide you're going to do it and do it. And then once you're falling, you realize it's not that difficult. You just kind of fall. I mean, we're not alone, are we? God's with us. He's helping us. Everything we do is to further His word. We weren't said, we weren't told, you have to baptize, you know, 20 people, or you're not going to heaven, I'm sorry. We have to try, and we're going to be measured against how we're trying. But reading about it is very different than doing it. David Clore, I mean, cook, you can't just read about cooking and know everything. I mean, I can follow a recipe, but I can't cook. You know, there's a complete difference. You have to really get in there, know what you're doing, have a plan. It's quite different than saying, you know, I am going to talk to someone and then actually talking to someone. It might take you in a completely different direction. I think that was one of the things I learned kind of early on when I was a teenager. You know, I went through a couple of studies with friends, and I found that where I thought I wanted to go is not where they wanted to take me at all. And I found myself, you know, learning in a lot of different directions in areas I didn't really expect myself to, because that's what they needed. So you can't just read and sing and, you know, play church. It's about getting out there and doing it, because it's completely different. And we have to trust God. You know, for me, it was trusting God more than Carl, who was on my back. I had to completely rely on him, you know, to pull the chute, to make the decisions as to when was a safe point to do that, to land me. I didn't do anything. I was really along for the ride. I feel like sometimes as Christians, we need to trust God as I did Carl here. We need to let God know when the right time to have that conversation is. But we have to put ourselves out there. We have to put ourselves in those situations where it's up to us to do something. Can we fail? Yes. We can forget the facts. We can not prioritize. We can not pack our chute. We can, you know, try to cut Carl off my back and try to do this solo. There's a lot of ways we can mess this up. But I find personally for myself, the biggest one on this list for me is that last one. It's never even jumping. It's never even having that conversation with someone that I know needs it. That's failure. But that's okay. It's about learning from those failures and trying again and again and again and again. Because it's not about what my agenda is. It's not about what I think I need to do to be successful here on this earth. It's not about what I think the message needs to be for someone. It's about what God thinks. It's about what God wants for us. It's about how we live for Him and not ourselves. Question I often ask myself, you know, would God be proud of me? You know, I always find comfort in knowing that, you know, it was recorded that David was a man after God's own heart. To me, there would be no greater honor to say someone was after God's own heart. You know, are we living our lives where God would be proud of us? And it's not about being perfect 100% of the time. We know there was only one person that was 100% perfect all the time, and that was Jesus. We know we make mistakes. But are we trying? You know, I find as a parent, you know, one of the things I'm most proud of is, you know, when my kid, you know, falls, you know, again, I remember a situation at Aiden, like on a playground, you know, fell, and it was really, really little. And I just kind of let him kind of pick himself up, and he fell again, and he tried to pick himself up, and he fell again. And eventually he got over that obstacle and got over to the swing, and a couple of parents, like, just stood there, and they were kind of floored, like, you know, wow, you know, what tenacity, I believe, was their word or something. And, you know, it just makes me proud to know that, yeah, they didn't make it the first time, second time, third time, but they made it. They did eventually do what they had to do. So tonight, you know, with God, we'll always land safe. We'll always make it to the ground. We'll make it to heaven if we do what He says. But are we doing it? Are we reading our Bible? Are we knowing our facts? Are we committing to it? Are we prioritizing time to go out and to talk about Christ to others? Are we prioritizing our time to read it for ourselves and to get baptized and become a member of the salvation that God's given to us? There's a lot of different directions we can go in our life. But tonight the question is, do you need to make your life right? Do you need to put aside some of those worldly directions and focus on what we're here to do? Are you jumping? And if you haven't decided to jump tonight, to become baptized, become a member of the church, to put on the gospel of Christ, and to live that in your life, then I ask you come forward now as we stand and sing.